everyone, and welcome to another anniversary episode of Movies That Whip.
Yeah.
I am Adrielle, of course, and I'm here joined by my good friend, my good pal, Gooey. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's good when you remember that it's the anniversary, you know.
We didn't remember until today. Well, Goo reminded me that it was that we've been doing this for, is it really 2 years? That's really crazy.
Yeah, because I was looking back, and our catalog is a bit weird to look at the actual release date because I moved them over to our own feed, you know,
right,
when we were originally
right.
on virtual theater. So there's like a big chunk, but mm-hmm. I remembered I was looking and, you know, we had our double feature last year of Good Burger, Wayne's World. And the month mm-hmm. before was Righting Wrongs.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, right. That was our Cynthia, right? It was that Cynthia was in there and we were doing the tribute to her because she was, mm-hmm. She helped start the podcast. And
she really did. She set the tone.
But I think we've kind of made, like, we've evolved over the years and, you know, we've changed the formats a bit and we were doing things that we thought were going to be like, what do you call them? Like yearly type things. But then, you know, we've kind of backed out on a lot of them because then we wouldn't.
Yeah. Or evolved, changed,
yeah.
made decisions as creative decisions.
I think otherwise we get stuck too much in like a formula, you know? So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And I think that, for this episode, we're doing the 1996, dare I say, cult classic, or perhaps it's a cult classic to me now, Barb Wire, starring Pamela Anderson Lee. And mm-hmm. The reason I bring this up, of course, because we're talking about it, but also because it felt in many ways like a return to form for like the kind of movies that we sort of like bonded over like several mm-hmm. years ago through virtual theater and like these sort of like unappreciated movies. And it's funny to like compare this to something like Yes, Madam, which has like it's like night and day in terms of
yeah.
which one has more class, you know, and like maturity and elegance. Mm-hmm. However, I think that Barb Wire is kind of, you know, the other side of the coin in terms of movies that are unappreciated, but like have this like kind of pizzazz and just like bring me so much joy in this like really special way that we will get into. So I think that in some ways it really is fitting as a good anniversary
yeah.
for us to watch.
Yeah, because like Righting Wrongs and Yes, Madam don't exactly like this was kind of, I think we're thinking of the type of like a lot of the like early like movies we would cover on not early movies on that podcast, but early in the virtual theater, in the video game movie canon, like those kind of early mm-hmm. sort of trashy sort of movies, and like yeah. Righting Wrongs and Yes, Madam aren't really like that, so but they just whip ass in a different way, you know. But
yeah,
this is really even going back to, you know, predating that, or like this has the same kind of tone as like your Double Dragons or whatever mm-hmm. your Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat type thing, like the yeah,
yeah.
like kind of like really kind of trashy sort of movie, you know.
It is a very trashy movie. I think it's fair
yeah.
to say. Here's a question: are there any virtual theater movies that are rated R? There've got to be some, right?
Definitely. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Usually more because of like violence and things like that, mm-hmm. but yeah, I don't know.
Not because they're titty flicks like this one.
Yeah, I don't know how many. I don't know how many we've seen like legit tits in.
Like, yeah,
I'm sure it exists. Well, I guess we spawned into Michelle and for the first episode because of I just thought of DOA because of the Corey Yuen and Righting Wrongs, I guess, was that case too. But anyway, that was even that's like, you know, based on like a titty based video game series. And like even that, I don't know if that's R. But typically, I don't know, I guess like more of the horror adaptations and stuff like that, like those are more in the R category. Yeah. There's I'm like devolving into like a I feel like this is more of a thing in like the 90s. I'm sure it's still a thing now, but like where people would like keep track of what movies you saw tits in.
Oh, like, that was a thing? Like you would
there was like a website or something for it. I didn't like frequent this or anything. I just heard about this. But I was just thinking of it came to my mind. I was like, "Oh, you see Mila Jovovich's tits in Resident Evil." And now I'm like I don't want to like be the, like documenting this. But anyway, like that's like the closest thing I can sort of think of, and even that is like a classier joint. By much. Actually,
It is though, I would say.
the closest this kind of compares to me, and these are all I think they're all R-rated movies, is like the Uwe Boll movies, because those are like really and those are probably even trashy, those are even trashier than this actually, like by far.
Yeah, I would believe that. I don't think I've actually seen any Uwe Boll movies, but based on what I've heard of them, it seems as though those have much less soul than barbed wire.
Yeah,
I think.
I mean there are
and
some.
So that kind of adds to the trashy factor, I think.
I don't want to take over. You're the boss, but
please tell me.
I'm kind of in anniversary
tell me what's on
mode.
Your mind.
And you got me thinking. Do you want to hear like some of the movies we covered early on?
Yes, I would love to. Let's go a trip down memory lane here, a diversion.
Let's just do this. We'll do year one. Yes, Madam. Our first movie, No Escape, RRR, Avatar, and so far I would say none of these really fit in the like complete like virtual theater like super camp trash sort of category. Tu Wong Fu, Prince of Darkness, Carter, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Avatar: The Way of Water, Romeo and Juliet, The Foreigner, Last Temptation of the Christ. That was our first year. And honestly,
what a broad array of films.
We're classy. Year two is Righting Wrongs, Wayne's World and Good Burger, Iga, Cyborg. There we go. That's a
Cyborg. Yeah, we're starting to get closer here.
Legend, The Howling, Out of the Past. Honor Majesty's Secret Service, The Five Devils, Face Off, Horror of Dracula, and Touch of Zen. So honestly, we're mostly middle or highbrow, I think.
Actually quite highbrow, which is really surprising because I kind of imagine the movies that I'm showcasing as like things that are not necessary. Some of them are obviously like Avatar or, you know, Romeo and Juliet, but there are other ones that I haven't seen.
Yeah. Are you disappointed that we haven't done enough? You're like, this is like, what do I imagine our podcast is about? This episode, this movie.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not totally, but does that disappoint
it's not.
You? Cause you were relieved that it was a return to this type of thing, but
I don't know. I think that a movie like Barbed Wire I don't have to feel like I don't know enough or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something like Barbed Wire, it's like, even this time, your suggestion, we're doing something that I think might be a change here, which is looking at some people's reviews of this film. But that's only really fun if it's if the reviews are funny. Although perhaps some reviews of maybe a good movie would also be entertaining to look at. Although I feel like reviews of Out of the Past would just like piss me off for some reason.
You could probably find some like something. Someone said something unhinged about it, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Or they're just like up their own ass or something.
Or they're mad about like the shipping or something.
Yeah. They're mad about too much smoking. No, but this, I feel like movies like this, it doesn't, I don't have to feel like I'm, I feel like I can be more relaxed in terms of my reception of the film.
Okay.
Because they're just, it already is such a low bar. You know what I mean? Like other films, I'm like, well, you know, I really don't know a lot and yeah. I have to like kind of think more. Although I really feel like Out of the Past was one of my favorite episodes that we did because I got to like look into some like history that I didn't know normally and things like that. That was like pretty fun. But
well, I think that's been the journey is that we're kind of I feel like we've sort of established that, especially our first episode is a good example of like with the Hong Kong action movies of like, this is stuff we're almost like we want to know more about, you know what I mean? And we're, this is, it's almost like we're not coming in to be like, we know everything there is to know about this. And then especially when we're going further into like older films or stuff like that, we're like, we're trying to kind of broaden our own personal horizons. But then at the same time, we're showing that like, we're going to give this stuff, this like kind of quote unquote more trashy stuff, like the time of day too, because we sort of love that stuff too. We're like, we're like dummies that appreciate smart stuff.
Totally. It's a good way of it because like it also, I think, it allows us to, how do I say this? Like, we don't have any credibility anyway.
Yes.
or at least I don't.
No, definitely.
And so it's not like I'm lending credibility to any of these films or like any of the trashy films, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm trying to defend them because like I don't have any legs to stand on. But I think that, yeah, it's what you said is a good, I think, encapsulation of kind of our thesis here in Movies That Whip, which is, these are movies that we want to see, and I think that they're movies that we want to know more about, and hopefully they whip. And I think that all of them have, if I'm being, I can't really think of a stinker here. And there were a couple that I had forgotten about, but not because not because they weren't good or I didn't like them.
Yeah, I think we've got, that was like reading it out. I was like, oh, we have to hit like kind of a broad thing, and there's still a lot of stuff I'd like to see, but I think we've done a pretty good job, so.
Yeah, it's kind of like a book club or a, like a...
Yeah.
It really ultimately is a book club or a movie club where we watch movies that we, or read books you wouldn't normally read, you know, and then talk about them with your friends. And that's really what we're all here for today. And and this movie in particular, when I started watching it, I texted you and I was like, this is maybe the worst movie I've ever seen.
At what point were you thinking that?
It was within the first five minutes.
Was this exclusively when the stripping scene was going on? Or?
No. Okay. This was if I'm remembering correctly, which I'm sure I'm not. There's like the opening. There's the stripping. There's like it opens with Pamela Anderson like pole dancing or like stripping in like she's like wet. Of course, it has to be.
And like, and then. Something that sounds, I forgot what's playing, but it sounds like it's like, it could be like Motley Crue style, like rock, right? Like, is that?
Well, there is a Motley Crue song that was made for this film, or I think it was at least.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Called so Welcome to Planet Boom. So it might have been
that song. I know that song because I was thinking that song was playing, and this is before it would have come out, but it, kind of almost to me before I even heard the lyrics, it kind of was making me think of the song Click Click Boom or whatever by POD. It had like a similar riff, and then they were just like boom, the boom is here or whatever, and I'm like, whoa, okay.
Song does whip, in my opinion.
I liked it. Yeah.
And then so there's that, and then there's like it was when and well, there's another scene where they're like torturing a lady wearing like a bikini or whatever,
yeah,
trying to get her to talk. And then after that, where they start really, they just do like an expository like plot lore dump of some sort where they're like, okay, there's like this person and this agency, oh, yeah, and this and that, mm-hmm, that. And I was like, if this is going to be if this is going to be more complicated than it is meant to be, then I think that this is going to be a problem.
That I feel like it pretty much stops right there.
It really does. But thankfully.
I was thinking while the opening was happening, I was kind of curious, like, I was like, this kind of like rocks, but like, I'm not someone who sees that sort of stuff and I'm like, oh, hell yeah. Like, you know what, yeah, I mean? Like, I don't really, it did get me like horned up or anything. I was just like, this is like kind of badass and like, I don't know, the movie, I don't think it's meant to be like empowering or anything, but
yeah,
you know, the like, I don't know, like the like politics of like sexuality in the 90s, you know what I mean? Like, I know, like, mm-hmm, this was right when I was a kid. I honestly think I've probably even seen this movie on like one of those like Cinemax or whatever, something like that, HBO as a kid, yeah, or something, seeing like a scene of it. And like, that's kind of my first like understanding of these sort of movies. And I always kind of was like, oh yeah, these are like kind of like degrading or something like that. But mm-hmm, I don't know if I've just sort of like, if things have sort of like, I don't know. I was watching it and I was like, this kind of like rocks. It was like, yeah, that's shot how cool. I felt too, like the, yeah, lighting was cool. The music was rocking. And like, she, like, honestly, like, there was probably like one of her best parts of the movie, I thought. Like, she looked badass. But
yeah, and I don't know. I mean, there's like a couple of now to be clear, like, this is not an empowering film.
But
to be fair, she is which we will get to in a moment, but she like is, it's like a retelling or an adaptation or of a different story, and she's playing the male role,
yeah,
in that story. And she's also, you know, she's like the hero, and she's always like, don't call me babe. And she like kills dudes with her stilettos and shit. Like, I don't know. I think that this could be like, I really don't think it's like a stretch to say that like this movie like gives her a lot of like power, and mm-hmm, I'm not trying to give it too much credit, but like, it didn't feel like difficult to watch in that way. It was just like, hell yeah, we're on this like fucking adventure with Pamela Anderson at the wheel, you know. Like, it felt like, God, it was just fun. I loved it. I thought it was cool.
That's such like a weird thing to like, you know, like for it, like there's this whole thing about like female characters and like Joss Whedon stuff. Mm. And like there almost became like this trope of like they whip so much ass, but like you can tell he's also like extremely horny about it. And it's like, and there's almost like, it's like, when does it become weird? You know what I mean?
Mm.
And like, does just the fact that they like do cool like action stuff and things like that, like, does that necessarily make them like an empowering character? You know what I mean? I think it always, I don't know. I don't know if that's something you can ever like fully, it really just depends. Like, I think it hurt in like the Joss Whedon case because it just came out that he was like kind of a like creepy guy, so it kind of like, mm-hmm, people sort of just change their like opinion on it a little bit, but you know, I don't know, I never, yeah, know how to feel about that stuff, you know.
Right. And it's also, Pamela Anderson is such a, I mean, she is her sexuality and her professional work like is so twisted up because of the sex tape scandal, and just because of her work in Playboy and, you know, in Baywatch, but she wanted to be a serious actor. I mean, there's like all of this stuff that's like all wrapped up in her. And so like this movie like becomes like this like like a pinnacle of like 90s trashy movies, of like her own like cinematic persona and like the sexuality of like, you know, female like badass, like the third way, you know what I mean? Like it's mm-hmm. this movie is like is anomalous in in some ways, I think, because she is like the she's the main character. And mm-hmm. like I know about this movie only because of watching Pam and Tommy on Hulu, which is like if you haven't watched it, you should watch it. It's good. Although it's complicated because it's about Pam and Tommy and about them like meeting and about mm-hmm. all of the stress of the like sex tape scandal. And like how she didn't profit. No one profited off of it at all, really.
Yeah.
Like even the people who sold it, like I didn't know anything about it really. But in it, there's like a, and I, you know, how true is it really? But that is happening at the same time as Barbed Wire is coming out. And, you know, her agents are just like trying to distance themselves from her. And so they like stop promoting the movie. They stop like putting any money into the marketing for it. Like all of this stuff is like doomed yeah. before, you know, it started. And like, I think I don't that understand that can't why. Be. I mean, I guess that people didn't know how like the public would react to like sex tapes. And now we know that like, you know, no, all publicity is good publicity, I guess.
Right. I feel like if anything, it's just like, you know, that's just good promotion for this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially for this movie. I mean, come on, you know. But she like Pamela herself, who is seemingly thriving in 2024. I like went on a deep dive about her, and then I realized I didn't know that it had come out, but she basically like made her own little like documentary style film just like with her own story of like her telling of what happened, because she was like not down with Pam and Tommy. She was like, no one asked me. Like, I'm getting nothing from this. You know, I don't want anything to do with this. It's, like, purely exploitative. And so she kind of made this response, which is called Pamela, A Love Story. And I would like to see it because it looks,
yeah, I kinda wanna
it looks
see
cool.
That.
And it's on Netflix. And, yeah, I mean, she's, like, freaking glowing. And she, like, doesn't wear makeup anymore. She's, like, doing cooking shows, like, in Vancouver. She, like, is seemingly just, like, doing really well for herself.
She's, like, a political advocate for stuff, right, too? Like,
yeah,
she
she's
cool?
been, like, a... Yeah, she's, like, a vegan for a long time, and she was,
yeah, I remember the sexy PETA ads.
Yeah, the sexy PETA ads.
But I feel
and,
like there's
like,
something else she's... like
yeah, she seems
in, right?
she seems like she's no, I haven't really looked into this, so I probably shouldn't say anything.
This is important to me. Who
yeah, I think it is.
There was someone else we had to Google their political advocacy. I don't remember. This is a long time. Animal rights, anti-pornography. She's a big defender of Julian Assange.
Whoa, cool. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's her Canadian coming out in her.
Yeah. Okay, okay. Well.
Yeah, so Pam and Tommy, I think, is problematic because mm-hmm. the titular character is like, fuck this shit, you know? Like, I can't believe people are still making money off of this, like, horrible thing that happened to me, you know, that was, like, really, that, like, fucked up my whole life. But it's also like I like loved the I really liked Pam and Tommy just from, you know, who the hell am I? What am I though?
Perspective or whatever. Yeah.
And it was like, I mean, I thought it was like all from her. It was so sympathetic to Pamela Anderson. It was like she was the main character. It was mm-hmm. like it wasn't about Tommy. It was about like her and about, you know, her. It was about how she was the one who was like fucked by this whole thing, you know? And so I think that it was in that way, I found it to be like pretty sympathetic. And I was surprised when I heard her say she wasn't into it, but then it made sense because she's like, they're still profiting off of it, blah, blah, blah. So
that's probably a tough thing for sure. Yeah.
It's also a totally fair analysis of it, you know? And so I think that I think that it was a sympathetic portrayal of her, and it made me more interested in her as like a, as an actor and as like a figure. And so I think that, you know, in that way it did, it's, it did some good, I think. But I would like to watch Pamela, A Love Story.
Could be a future.
And I watched Barbed Wire, which made me want to watch fucking Barbed Wire, which was awesome. So, yeah. So yeah, it's a, it seems like she was thinking like, this movie's really going to put me, like, this is a good role for me. I'm like out of the Baywatch thing, you know, I'm like doing, I'm breaking out on my own thing. Like, I'm Pamela Anderson Lee, you know, and then it just got totally panned because the movie is crazy, but also I think because of the sex tape stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, I mean, I would understand, I guess, like, why critically or whatever it wouldn't be received well, but I honestly thought, you know, I thought it was good. I don't know 100% that it, like, makes a case necessarily of her as, like, a big star, necessarily, but I thought, like, I don't know, I don't know if I thought she was, like, fantastic as an actress in it necessarily, but she just sort of does have a presence, you know what I mean? Like, she, mm-hmm. I mean, she is just like a, it might just be like she's like very iconic as like mm-hmm. a person of the 90s, you know what I mean? And I just feel like she does have like a presence. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. What did you think of her like acting? You know, I don't know if the movie now also really gave her much of an opportunity to be like an incredible actor, but
yeah, I think that perhaps this is an unpopular opinion, but I thought she rocked, and I thought that she was doing. Listen, there's no way in hell she was getting like good direction or act or coaching. You know what I mean? Like, she was like really giving it her all, and I feel like, if she was in a different, if someone took her seriously and put her in a movie that was like, you know, good, yeah. I think that she could have been somebody. She could have been an actor, like, more seriously, because I think there like really is potential there. Mm.
I think her role too is very like they're trying to give her like almost like a like gritty noir type mm-hmm. thing, and like I feel like that's Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's a bit of a, I would say, like, I thought everything, like, I was never, like taken out of it, or I was never, like, oh, like, mm-hmm. that, like, this is so horrible, you know what I mean? But I also felt like, too, I just, there was actually, like, a lot of people in this movie that I really like, and I felt like I was drawn to them a lot more. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the actors are some, honestly, there was a lot of virtual theater like characters in this movie.
Oh, there were? I would like you to, well, okay, so, but okay, before yeah, yeah. we get into the characters, I think that we'll just give like a brief overview of it, which is that I've never seen this movie.
Oh yeah.
But me, you either. Tell us what this, well, what this movie is.
Yeah, this is like
an adaptation of.
This is like the only time I would be chronological with like my reaction to it, because it changed after this moment. So I had the beginning. I was like, "Oh, this is cool. This is like, this whips ass or whatever." But then there was the lore, sort of like the lore thing, and I had to a lesser extent like your sort of reaction, where I was like, okay, like there's like a lot of, you know, like sci-fi things happening, and like there's like this politics, and I at first I didn't understand like they were talking about like the Congressionalists or something like that, and I was like, I don't really understand that necessarily, but then once they actually get down to it, and they're like in the bar, and like people are coming, and like a couple of people are talking, and I'm not quite sure like who is necessarily related to who, but then at some point it just clicks, and I was like, at first I wasn't sure, but there was a moment where I was like, oh, this is like a lot like Casablanca, the movie, and I was like, I wonder, like, I mid movie I pulled out my phone, because I was like, because then a second thing happened where I was like, oh, this is like really like Casablanca, And then I was like, I wonder if, like, anyone's, like, ever noticed this. And, like, I'm just so dumb. Like, I've never heard... Well, not, like, people talk about this all the time, but that's all anyone ever talks about. Like, if you go to the reception on Wikipedia, it just talks about how it's a retelling of Casablanca. And I like, laugh for a good, like, couple minutes at this, because I was like... then I was like, this is... And then all the lore dump mates, like, I got, okay, these guys are the Nazis, like, this, the Free City is Morocco, or you know what I mean? Like, I was like, okay.
It all made sense.
It all made sense, but it was so funny to me. And then as it kept going on, I was like, well, surely they'll change it a bit. And there's, like, minor things, like, not even mechanically, just, like, slightly, but, like, it didn't change. Like, they hit every beat basically of Casablanca from start to finish.
Incredible.
To the point where I'm pretty sure if you played them side by side, like, the comparative events, I think, would happen the exact same time in the movie. Yeah.
That is cool. It does, like, change the entire movie to be like, oh yeah, like, Pamela Anderson is playing, like, the Humphrey Bogart role.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's something that's, like, genuinely kind of cool about that, I think.
Yeah, it definitely, and it made the movie much easier to watch, because I knew exactly what was going to happen. At some point, I was like, I know exactly what's going to happen through the rest of the movie. And then I just got to luxuriate in, like, the vibe that they were presenting. And, like...
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know. Like, I was reading reviews, or I read a review that was talking about, like, it's, like, just saying it's, like, derivative. And I think they're making that claim based off the idea of, like, they don't really credit it as an adaptation. You know what I mean? Like, they present it, like... I think they presented as original work, but, like, I feel like there's no way they didn't just, like, change it. You know what I mean? But I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I guess, you know, like, there's probably certain, like, good reasons to, like, not be able to, like, just rip off another movie, like, beat by beat. But in the case of, I guess in the 90s, Casablanca was, like, 50 years old or something, and I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like, who cares? You know what I mean? It's cool. Like, whether they credit or not, like, the concept of making, what if Casablanca was a, like, dystopian sci-fi movie starring Pamela Anderson? I was like, that's awesome.
I fucking love that. That's so, like, that to me is like that. That's some fucking big dick energy. That's fucking cool. I truly think that is such, that's so sick to be like, let's, now I don't know what the, like, triangulation is between Casablanca, this movie, and then it's based on a comic book, right? Like, she's a comic book hero.
Yeah, I read about that. I've never read this comic book.
I don't know what the comic book, like, if the comic book is also part of the Casablanca thing, like, or, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know that. I tried to look it up and I could not. It seemed too in the weeds to, like, really, you'd have to, like, actually look at the comics to, like, kind of figure this out, which makes me think that it's, that the movie itself is taking the premise, or, like, the IP of Barbed Wire from the comic books, and then transposing that onto the plot of Casablanca, which I think is even cooler.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I was all for it. I fucking loved it. I thought it was, I have not seen Casablanca, but I know that's a gap in my film history.
Well, I mean, honestly, I if you liked this movie, like, you will, I think you'll like it. Like,
and I liked Out of the Past, so I think this is a perfect marriage of all of these genres.
I'm like, actually, I don't know. I was trying to read, like, real quick the synopsis here, and there's, like, this whole backstory. But she has the bar, she moonlights as a bounty hunter. I don't know. I don't know if she. Yeah, no, it doesn't. It looks like she fights, like, the gangs there, and I don't know. Yeah, I think that maybe that just came from them making the movie. I think your theory is right, but I don't know. I don't know enough about that.
I think that we would have to like really look at the comic books, which I was unwilling to do that kind of work for this. But perhaps in the future I will.
When I saw it was a comic book, I was like, I can totally imagine. Like, this is definitely like I can the 90s ass like horned up, like you know like that's where they're drawing like the most crazy body proportions in those comics.
Yes. Yes.
Like, and her, like, you would be dead if you stood like this. Like, your body can't stand.
And, like, Pamela Anderson with, like, a fucking 14-inch waist in this movie, which is, like at her peak, you know? It's, like, peak Pamela Anderson in terms of, like, her own, you know, that's when she was, like, a rising star, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it also takes place in 2017, which just... I just love when movies
take place in the past.
Right around here. It's same with Johnny Mnemonic. I think it's 2021 or something like that. In New Jersey. And so this, you know, and this is like, it's like after the second Civil War in 2017. I'm like, honestly, not that far off from the truth.
Yeah, we're like about in there, you know?
Yeah, you know, 2017 was a rough year, not as rough as 2020, but 2017 was, like, pretty bleak. Like, it felt like 2016 was a bad year, and then it just sort of kept getting like, more and more dire. So 2017 is, like, a perfect year for this to take place, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think they made a good guess, you know what I mean?
Totally, yeah. And I don't know why people continue. I mean, even Blade Runner 2049, I'm like, why didn't you make it 3049? Like, to me, it's so crazy to make something set quit like so soon. Like, that's gonna age really like weird. It just seems like, why not put it like even further into the future?
Yeah, I think it depends on the thing. I think they're that's a big jump that they're, or like not that much of a jump, but I think you just never know what's gonna happen. I think you run the risk because sometimes you think something looks extremely future, like in, I'm trying to think of a good Star Trek is a good example, like, you know, like doors sliding open they thought was a cool thing. And then one thing that I see a lot lately is there's an episode of the original series where someone poisons something by spraying something, and they're using like a Windex spray bottle, and you're like, what? Yeah. But at the time, like, that was like new technology, you know what I mean? So they thought, like, yeah, this is hella futuristic, you know?
Yeah.
So
one thing that I last night I went and saw Alien, the re-release of the original Alien movie in theaters, because it's been like 45 years or something. I don't know. They didn't want to wait for 50. They were like, we got to hit it at 45.
Well, so I went to the theaters the other day, and like, there is a stand for, this is a yearly thing, but there's like, they have like they're constantly around the year showing Studio Ghibli movies, so that's the thing to get. I think the problem is getting people to go to the theater. So like, another thing stand they had next to that was they're showing all the Spider-Man movies in theaters, and then next to that there was a stand of like, each month they're just showing a different classic movie, Wizard of Oz or Gone with the Wind, and like, we've seen multiple James Cameron anniversary movies. I think it's just like, they're just like, we got to get people coming to the movies somehow. Let's play like all these classics they love. Like, I think, but I mean, we're kind of benefiting from it in a weird way, but
yeah, I mean, I don't see any problem with it. I'm happy they're doing it because I get to see movies that I wouldn't ever get to see in theaters, you know? So I think it's kind of cool. I mean, I like it when they do that for the, Oscars every year. Like, I got to see Poor Things in theaters like way after it was like
that
released,
is nice.
Because it was, you know, right before the Oscars or right after or something like that. So
that's the Oscar. Yeah. Promo machine right there.
Yeah, exactly. But when I went and saw Alien, I liked that it didn't have a year, or at least if it did, I missed it. But it didn't say like in 20, whatever, you know. It just was like, it doesn't matter. It's like you're in the future where there's, you know, there's fucking space cargo and shit. Like, you know, there's no, like, it doesn't matter what year it is, really. Yeah. And especially because that movie has such a small scope, you know, it doesn't, it's like you don't really need to, the year doesn't matter, you know. So
I think it kind of depends, like for me, like one thing I like about Star Trek is that they're trying for it to like practically make it feel like it's in the future. And like they sort of said, well, at first when they first created it, it's like there isn't like an actual time. But then as they went on with the show, they kind of started establishing years. And then even now between when the show was created to now, like, fill out the history between then. And I sort of like it. Actually, I love it because it's fun to think about. Like there's so many things like that I know about that like take place like this year in Star Trek, and like it was That's fun cool. to think about that. But then obviously you run into an issue as time goes on where you kind of have to like they're kind of like dealing with like trying to retcon things or like make it make sense. You know what I mean? So. Mm-hmm. There's like a, I feel like there's a pro to it, but in something, yeah, I feel like something like Alien, it's just like such a good standalone thing that like there's no real purpose in giving it a year, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't need the context, but yeah, when it starts to expand out with all of these like other implications and contexts, I can see that that is not only useful but very cool. Anyway, this movie took place in 2017 after the second Civil War.
Well, that's a fun thing to do in a movie like this, where it's like, you know, it's not realistic. So just like pick a date that's close. And it's honestly, it's funny, like when we get there and it's not like it at all.
Yeah, it's so exciting to be like, I just love that we're watching this at all.
We
like,
survived barbed wire.
Yeah, we did. So I have a couple of reviews that I would like to read, but I also did want to ask you about the VT, the virtual theater people that were in the film.
Okay.
And I can so it, maybe you could just call those out to me for my own edification, so that I know who what the crossover is.
Okay. Well, so actually. To the two standout sort of people, and I feel like, so the one guy, her sort of Sam, who's like Sam in Casablanca is like the guy who plays piano, but I feel like in this he's kind of the bartender guy, is sort of the Sam character. Though I was kind of disappointed. I thought like the DJ dude should have had more of a role. Like, what did you think about that? When they're in the club and the guy's like spinning records or whatever, but then he's also like, you know, like giving a little commentary and stuff.
Yeah, he was awesome.
I don't know if I know that actor. But anyway, the big one was her bartender is this German actor Udo Kier, and he is not like the stuff. He's like he's in like hundreds of movies. Like he and from across the board, he's worked with like he's a German actor, so he's worked with. Like, I think he got to start working with a lot of, like, some of the, he's worked with some of the big German directors, but he's been in hundreds of things. So, like, to classify him as, a lot of that has been in, like, kind of weird genre stuff, but I feel like saying he's only that, I feel like I'd kind of be doing him a disservice.
Right, that wouldn't be quite right.
But he is in, he actually is in Johnny Mnemonic. Come to think of it, what was the name of his character? I think I have his. He played Ralphie in Johnny Mnemonic. So
you have such a good memory for like faces and actors. Like I feel like
well,
I
just
get
pulled
them
up his Wikipedia
confused.
As well.
Oh, well, I remember that his because he looked familiar, but I was like, I don't know, he could just look like a bunch of guys.
Well, the thing is, he's probably just in so many movies. That you've probably seen. He's in My Own Private Idaho. He's in Ace Ventura, Pet Detect. He's like one of those like people or it's like you need. He's in Blade, you know, but for virtual theater, I specifically remember he's in well, he's worked with one of the other great German directors, Uwe Boll. He was in Far Cry, which is one of, that was a pretty bad. I believe he was in Blood Rain also. Yeah, he was. But
that's so cool that this dude has been in so many things and so many that are legit, you know, like renowned films, and then there he's also in these other ones.
He's in Downsizing, the Matt Damon movie. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember
Matt,
that. Movie,
Matt Damon becomes tiny.
Yeah, the Honey I Shrunk the Kids, but with Matt Damon.
So he's great. I like seeing him and stuff, but yeah, he's in a bunch of he's in like Lars von Trier movies and stuff like that. Also, but anyway, the big one for me, kind of one of my favorite actors of all time is it's like the guy. The guy she's like turning the bounty into, the little bald guy, is Clint Howard, who is, he's been in a ton, like, he's kind of come in, he's been in everything that I've ever dealt with. He's
a big Star Trek dude, maybe? I'm guessing?
Well, yes, actually. So, Give me a chance to explain this guy to you. He's Ron Howard's brother. He's also in a bunch of Ron Howard movies. And I always get excited when, you know, we watch a Ron Howard movie. Yeah, I don't like the movie that much, but they're like, oh, there he is. This little goblin. It's weird. Like, Ron Howard, you know, is this, like, young child star and then turned director or whatever. And his brother's, like, a little goblin man, you know? But so he's in all those. He's been in a ton of Uwe Boll movies. He's in he's in House of the Dead. He's in a bunch of stuff. Uwe Boll movies. He's like weirdly one of his guys, I feel like. But he has been in, I think he has been in like every Star Trek series, like every single one. Like, even the new ones.
What a badge of honor.
And you're thinking, like, wait, how old is he? Like, how has he been in every Star Trek series? He's in the original series when he was a baby, he was. He played, like, an alien who looked like a baby. Like, they filmed him as a baby and did voiceover. It's because when he was a baby, he looked insane.
Like a goblin?
Yeah. Here, I'll show you. I mean, here.
Yes, please.
Look at this picture of him. He played Baylock.
He does look like such a monster, such a gremlin here.
Yeah. So
he looks the same. I mean, I know he has a little bit of a old man makeup on as a baby, but like that was a real window into the future.
Yeah, like he's I mean, when you think about it, he's aged really well.
Yeah. Yeah, he still looks like a fucking baby.
But yeah, he is. I don't know if he might not be in every Star Trek series, but he's. He's been in like how many? Many. This is very. It's very important to me that he's been in all of these. So
yeah, Shay, tell me.
Here we go. He was Baylock in Star Trek: The Original Series. Grady in. All right, going down the rabbit hole. There's a Deep Space Nine episode that takes place like this year. Then they go back in time to like this year, and like the government has taken like unhoused people and like mentally ill people basically, and put them into like these ghettos essentially. And it's like, you know, it's like a social commentary type episode, and but he plays. It's kind of sketch, but he's a key figure in this, in like part of the episode, but he's like this mentally ill guy who they got to talk to. But it's one of the best episodes of Deep Space Nine. He played Muck in Star Trek Enterprise, who is a Ferengi. He played Creepy Orion in Star Trek
Discovery.
Damn, that's
a good name.
So the Ferengis are, in the Ferengis, he's like the big-eared guys, and then the Creepy Orions are like the green guys, so he's like a those are usually like slave trader type things.
Okay.
And then he played Buck Martinez in Strange New Worlds, which is like one of the new shows. He's just, oh, he was just like, actually, this is kind of nice. He got to be, he got to play a chief medical officer of a ship. I don't remember his character that much, but he was just like a normal Starfleet guy.
I was going to say, he always gets these like psychotic parts, it sounds
so
like.
I lied. He's not been in ever. There's people who have been in more.
But he was in the original one as a damn baby, so.
Yeah. Oh,
that's,
and then,
not for nothing.
So then I just remember, too, the bouncer at her club was played by Tiny Lister, I think that's his name. You know, like the big dude. Trying to think of all the stuff he's been. He's been in Star Trek also, but he's in like a crap ton of stuff. He's like one of the most like memorable looking humans, I feel like, of all time.
What's his name?
Tiny Lister.
Lister.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this guy.
Yeah.
There are a lot of guys in this. There are a lot of character actors in this movie, as I call them, GUIs guys.
Yeah, so sorry to go down the rabbit hole of just naming a bunch of
things. No, I love it.
There's people who've been in more Star Trek stuff, honestly, but I think you got to give this guy credit for being in the original series and the most current show.
Yes.
And being a
baby. Yes.
Granted, he was a famous baby. You know what I mean? Like, he was a... I'm pretty sure, like, Ron Howard was probably already known from the Andy Griffith show, maybe?
Okay.
I don't remember when that aired, but...
He was a famous baby.
He was a famous baby. You know, a Nepo... He was literally a Nepo baby, I assume.
He was literally a Nepo baby.
Anyway, so that's my corner where I just say, there's probably more people in it, too, like, that are like this. Mm. But that's just the ones who... there's like a lot of weird looking people in the movie, which I really... Oh!
There were a lot of weird looking people.
Well, then we gotta say... Pam, she was nowhere without her her love interest, I guess you could say, who
Axel
was played by Tamura Morrison, who I guess I mainly know as being Jango Fett in the prequels, the Star Wars prequels, but now he's gone, and now he plays Boba Fett or whatever in that show. I haven't seen that, but. Or, and he's like the clone, you know, the clones in the, like the Clone Wars or whatever. But McKenna and I, just because we're in the same era, we just watch him. He's like one of, he's not like the lead, but he's like one of the secondary. He has a big part in Speed 2 Cruise Control with Sandra Bullock.
Damn. I feel like the Speed movies have been really coming up in my, like on my radar a lot recently. And I want to. I watched a part of the first one, I think, like over the shoulder of someone on an airplane, and now I really want to watch them all.
So I'm like thinking, watching that and then this, I was sort of thinking, he has a big part. He played, like, now he plays, you know, I can't say, like, there's no reason to feel bad for him. He's like, he's got all the Star Wars thing. He plays Aquaman's dad in the Aquaman movies. But I'm watching this. And I'm watching Speed, and I'm like, this guy should have, like, if I felt like watching No Escape with Ray Liotta, and I was like, this guy should have been, like, a guy, you know what I mean? Like, he should have been, like, a Keanu Reeves type guy. Like, I feel like he's got the riz.
Yeah, he was great. He's got big time riz, for sure. The one that stood out to me, they all stood out, the people in this movie, the actors, the bodies of the people in this movie were all, like, so fun to look at. I mean, and I don't mean that in a creepy Pamela Anderson way, but I mean, like, all of these people were either, like, really, like, weird looking or interesting in various ways. But the one that stood out to me was a person who I only knew from Event Horizon. And it was, I looked him up, but his name is Jack Noseworthy.
Jack, he does have a distinctive nose.
But I remembered him from Event Horizon, which is another one. I love space horror movies. And I talked about it a lot last night after
movie. Shout out.
Yeah. It's that movie's so sick. But anyway, he was the one that stood out to me a lot. And he was blind in this film. It was her brother, right?
Yeah, her brother. I didn't pick up on that till later.
What, that he was blind?
No, that, no, that he's her brother. I think later in the movie she's like, quiet down, brother. And I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't pick up on that.
There are a couple, like, I think she says it early on, but there are a couple moments where he's like really whiny. He's just being a whiny little bitch to her. And she's like, oh, come on.
That's the only thing, that element is the only part that is like different from, at least from what I remember. I mean, I've seen Casablanca a few times, like in the past few years, and I don't remember, in it, Humphrey Bogart is like, he was a freedom fighter or whatever, and he's escaped and he's run this bar and he's like, I'm not into politics or whatever, you know, and he's,
mm-hmm.
and he's sort of, his former lover shows up with her husband and they're fleeing Nazi Germany or whatever, and he's doing this whole thing of like, yeah, maybe I'll help you, maybe I won't, you know, it, or whatever. And I don't think there's an element where he's like, they're like that whole part where they're like fighting and everything, there's like a big battle, like that's not in the movie. And so the brother thing,
mm-hmm.
like I don't think he had a brother either. Like there wasn't an element of like aiding freedom fighters. I think it was more just based about helping them escape, like fleeing.
Yeah,
at least from what I remember. Maybe I'm dumb here, but
it's interesting. I would like to, I'm going to watch Casablanca now, but purely because it's an important piece of cinema, but also because it's interesting to think of how they change, like plot changes.
It's so close, sort of strange. It's crazy close. The only thing I can think of that's similar is like there's a part where like these people break out into singing like the French national anthem in his bar or whatever, because like all these mm-hmm. Nazi guys are also there like chilling, and they're like, mm-hmm. we're gonna, you know, be patriotic or whatever and sing the French national anthem. But I don't think he, anyway, yeah.
is there a flashback of him like in the war, and then he's like, I left that person back then, and but now I'm barbed wire.
Well, certainly, yeah, when she shows up, there's like flashbacks of them like romantic, you know. It's like the scene, the little montage in Honor Majesty's Secret Service where they're like, I think, from what I remember, like they're in love and they're like going on a picnic or something. Maybe I'm like, maybe I'm making this scene up. But
No, I remember the scene you're talking about, the montage, yeah.
No, I think I'm like describing Casablanca from like, I can't remember a movie I saw like a month ago. And I think the last time I saw it was like, 3 years ago or something, so like that it starts to get a little hazy. I just remember the big, you know, sort of moments, so, but I'm pretty sure there's like a whole, they flash back to them being in love, and they got separated like due to like no specific fault of anyone's, but like kind of like blame, one of them blames the other. Anyway, it's kind of got a similar thing here where like I can't quite remember how they got split up or whatever, but yeah.
I'm just so taken with the fact that this is an adaptation or a retelling of Casablanca. But all, okay, so
it's a faithful adaptation.
Yeah, clearly. On that note, though, I have a couple of reviews, and because this movie was so universal. Okay, here, yeah, I have a couple of, I'll read some of them to you, and I have some strong opinions. So, by the way, the Rotten Tomatoes score, whatever you want to say about that, the score is 28%, and the audience score is 14%, which I find shocking. That's messed up, right?
Yeah.
And the critics consensus, quote unquote, which is on Rotten Tomatoes, it's basically like the aggregate like sentence that they think most encapsulates the movie. Mm-hmm. Barbed wire could have been fun camp, but Pamela Anderson can't deliver her lines with any dramatic or comedic impact. And I am personally offended by that. That is, I think that of all the things to complain about in this movie, her delivery should not have been everybody was just too busy looking at her tits to like think about the fact that she was really trying her hardest out here.
Right. Yeah. I feel like that's just such a like that. That's like the obvious like thing I would expect, like before even seeing it, that people would just be like, oh, yeah, like she's not casted because of her acting abilities or whatever, you know.
Totally.
Like I said, I wasn't like that taken with her like as an actress necessarily, but like the movie is like she's solid, I feel like, and like I think fun. I'll go as far to say as that. I feel like I feel like the movie is very entertaining, like, and she I think she actually does a good job of like, it might be because the world is so absurd, but I feel like she kind of holds it down in this movie. I think maybe that like they wanted her to be more over the top, but I feel like there's so much of that happening around her in the movie, and like she does some ridiculous stuff herself, you know.
So that was the the critics' consensus, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so then I was like, let me look at the like audience reviews or whatever, because I've let's see, why does it have such a low audience score? And I was like, honestly, I was like, some of these are like really quite funny, and some of them are I'm mad. So Lucas G on February 27th, 2023 gave it 1 star and said, pretty terrible all around, but I'm not mad at it. And I like that one a lot.
I'm not mad. Okay, I
wonder
why.
Pretty terrible all around, but I'm not mad. This one, some people take it quite seriously. Okay, this one. Steve D, in July of 2020, gave it 0.5 star and said,
oh, man.
The comic is a lot of fun. This is not. Pamela Anderson seems to think she really is in Casablanca and is taking it that seriously.
That's what is good about her performance, okay?
That's what's incredible. He says, she's a terrible actress and can't pull it off. I don't agree. I disagree with you. I think it's fucking awesome. She really is taking it so seriously. Like, she is in cost. She got that tattoo for real. She got the barbed wire tattoo around her arm that made it popular for everyone to get barbed wire tattoos everywhere.
Oh, she really got that.
It's a real-ass tattoo. She took this role fucking seriously.
That's one thing I don't like is when it's like, oh, like they were trying to be good, and it's like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what makes
that's good.
I guess that's what I mean about like I felt like, yeah, I don't think she was very good. I felt like, or it's hard to say, but I don't feel like she was incredible, but I felt like she was trying, and I think that's what makes it all the more enjoyable is that it's like this super absurd, ridiculous movie, but like it is like, but it's Casablanca, you know what I mean? And like I feel like I almost like that, like I think pretty much all the characters except for like there's a couple one are like these are some goofballs, but like pretty much everyone involved is like seems like they're weirdly taking it seriously in a weird
way,
you know. There's outlandish characters, but I don't know,
there was a review here that was somebody said like the movie, this was like I think a legitimate review that like a reviewer said, but it was something where they were like, this could have been a really bad movie, but they
you're talking about the Roger Ebert?
Yeah, the filmmakers.
He's
spot on. He said the filmmakers must have known that they were not making a good movie, but they didn't use that as an excuse to be boring and lazy. Barbed wire has high energy level and a sense of deranged fun. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
Well, that's the thing that bothers me sometimes is like where it's like, well, we know it's bad, so we're just gonna like make fun of you for watching it, essentially. And it's like, no, it's almost better when you're like trying your best to make something serious.
Yeah. And like he's giving them a lot of credit by saying like that they must have known they were not making a good movie. And I think it's true. Like, I don't think that this is like a super self-aware, like, you know, commentary, but I do think that like the movie knows what it is. Like, it's not.
This movie would be so much worse if it was like pointing out the fact that it's like goofy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I forgot where I heard this, but I've said it a bunch where it's like, I don't need the movie to give me permission to like think it's silly. You know, I like, I can just figure that out for myself, you know?
Totally. People seem to be mad about the fact that people didn't think of it as like a retelling or an adaptation of Casablanca. Mad about it. They were like, Johnny P says in 2014, the only people that this movie appeals to are the ones who love having sexual fantasies about Pamela Anderson! ! This went down in history as one of the worst films of all time, and wow, does it show. I also learned that the story and plot ripped off the classic film Casablanca! ! How original! It's no wonder why this piss-poor film bombed at the box office. I don't understand how you would think that Casablanca, it being a adaptation of Casablanca, is a bad thing. I just think that's so cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I guess I'm thinking about it more just from the, like, yeah, from, like, giving proper credit, I guess. But like I said, like, I don't know. I think it depends on it's, I'd take that on a case by case basis. You know what I mean? And I feel like in this case, it's like, it doesn't feel like if they were trying to pass off their story, like that's ripping off Casablanca as like, I don't know. I feel like this wouldn't be the movie. Like this movie is like clearly not trying to make Casablanca like,
yeah, it's so not
like it's like I said though, it is a really good adaptation. Like I sort of get the idea, but like I don't feel like, just to quote sort of Roger Ebert's review, like they weren't lazy about it. Mm-hmm. Like the movie has like cool, I feel like it has cool sets, you know what I mean, like like a fun tone. Like it's just goofy all around. So like I guess if they were like, I don't know, I guess that's a tricky thing, but like it's weird. I guess I don't care about it from like an intellectual property standpoint. I don't know, it's a weird thing.
Yeah, like would people be less mad about it if they just came out and said that it was a, I don't know. Like, what are they asking, right? Are they saying they just don't want it to be a Casablanca remake?
Or like, I think they're trying to say plagiarism, I guess, is the sort of thing.
Yeah, but that's not the same. That's not what plagiarism is.
Yeah.
It's just not what it is.
Yeah, this is more of like a remix on it. And
yeah, I mean, like for eons and eons, humans have been retelling the same stories over and over again. Come on, you know, like if, like, I don't know, there's how many versions of like Dr. Faustus out there and Romeo and Juliet, like even without actually calling them that, you know. I just feel like this is such a like a strange thing to be like mad at.
I think it is like weirdly that it's so like, I don't know why. Like, I think it's just that it's so eerily similar that I sort of get it. I don't get being mad about it, but I get the idea.
Yeah.
Comparatively to what, like for example, when people say oh, Avatar is just this, but blue aliens, like that, I'm like, no, it has like similar story elements, like themes and things like that, but otherwise it's like a different story. Whereas this, I'm like, this is like, it's pretty much the same story, pretty much. And I guess you could maybe say like, maybe they're not putting like maybe because they don't change that, there's nothing, like they're not adding anything. But I guess just the setting and kind of having Pamela Anderson in the role and, mm-hmm. and all this stuff. Like, I think it justifies itself, you know, not that you necessarily need to, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't.
I agree with you. Yeah.
I don't know. This is a case of like, we're watching a dumb movie and we're not supposed to know stuff. And now I feel like I'm trying to. This is something where it's like, I just don't know. I don't, you know, I don't know enough stuff about writing and copyright and or like, like what makes something original. That's a big like topic of conversation nowadays. Like after that one, there's that one YouTube video about like plagiarism and things like that. I don't really have a problem if you're like taking like a story and like telling it in your own way. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's right. like, you know, even if, I don't know, they, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to tackle this.
Yeah. Well, it's, I think the mediums like art, I don't know, it depends on like how old the story is and like what the retelling is and what the medium and like who is profiting off of it and how, you know, like Casablanca is like the most famous movie like of all time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, Do I feel bad that they're like using that? Like, no, I think that's cool. I don't know. It's not like I don't think they're ripping anybody off to me. And it's also like, this is completely so far from what Casablanca like is as its own film, apart from the plot, you know? So it just seems like such a crazy criticism to like have. To me, it seems like when I'm like looking at these reviews or whatever, it just seems like people figured it out and then like felt smarter than the movie or something.
Yeah.
Like this one.
He's not always right, but this is a case where I think Roger Ebert has pretty much the perfectly correct take. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I feel like is a pretty good take, but there are some where he misses the mark.
But even so, he usually has some like. Really insane take about it that like I really appreciate and I'm like, it's very thought-provoking in a way.
Yeah.
My buddy Connor always points out it's like the best example of this where he's talking about the end of the movie Spawn, which I frankly haven't seen in a long time, but the end is this crazy big CG nightmare type thing, and it's similar to this movie. Honestly, it's like a very trashy, you know, comic book adaptation, and he loved this movie, I'm pretty sure. And it's a Siskel and Ebert thing. They're reviewing it and he's like defending the movie Spawn like crazy, and he compares that ending part to a Hieronymus Bosch painting.
Hell,
and it makes it makes Siskel awesome. Like so mad. And I'm like, I don't even know if I agree, but I'm like, I just love like how, you know, I mean, how adamant he was about it. And I'm like,
that
I see it. I get it. But anyway, I 100% agree on this in this case. You know, it reminds me of like I read his review on the Terminator. Or not Terminator, sorry, Tomb Raider. I don't know, T words in there. The Tomb Raider episode, like, he had, like, the best take on this, or he's talking about all the lore and how it doesn't make sense, and he just, like, spends a paragraph describing the lore, and he's like, I don't need that to, like, don't tell me this doesn't make sense, and describes it, and you, in him describing it, like, he doesn't even have to, like, say it. It's just him reading what it is so absurd that it's like, yeah, like, I get it. You know what I mean? That's not what Tomb Raider is about. And I feel like that's the case here in a different way, where it's like, this movie isn't necessarily like about what it's about. I mean, I guess it's whatever you take away from it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's just about being this like weird vibe and like this mm-hmm. like interesting setting of, like, I don't know. I feel like I will say it's a great adaptation. I don't care whether they wanted to pass it off as someone else's work or not. I think they did a great job.
I completely agree. And I also want to say this dovetails nicely into this 5-star review, which does not mention the Casablanca thing.
Oh,
and
cool.
I think it's because they didn't know. And they just, okay, just 2021, no name review. 5 stars. Absolutely awesome. Campy. Breasty. More importantly, jam-packed with backstage insights into how government and military hoard out corrupt rat bastards pull their dirty, heartless scams.
They're getting real, yeah.
Getting so fucking real. This B movie brings out the double E jugs of seriously scathing commentary on the skulking cowards behind the scenes of this mess of militarized totalitarianism and rips the Band-Aid off.
Jugs. I love using the jugs in combination with the political metaphor, you know?
Yeah. And then
I like conflating like extreme horniness with like anti-authoritarian sort of messaging, you know,
like it's like comes it like brings to mind this image of like Pamela Anderson just like fucking murdering people with her titties. Had some really great stunts and fight choreography as well. I knew it would be hated on, but this was a little surprised to see how little the tomatoes respected it. Great stuff, exclamation
point. The tomatoes. I love getting mad at Rotten Tomatoes.
You know? I know, in your like Rotten Tomatoes review. So that person took it extremely seriously, so I had to had to clip that one. This one is 2.5 stars, 2017. Terrible movie, super duper perverted.
Oh, you know, you could say it's perverted, maybe.
Yeah, sure. And then a lot of people just, like, in earnest, totally seriously, it seems, because there's just en masse these reviews of people just being like, oh, man, I loved her titties, but the movie sucked. It's like, yeah. Have you ever had a fucking original thought in your goddamn life? What are we even talking about here?
That's
people
what I was
are just
thinking
like,
is...
cool titties. Like, what?
Yeah, that's what I was like imagined what I was saying earlier when they're like, well, they her tits are just to hide her acting skills or whatever.
Yeah. That's that's like generally what people say, which like I find offensive, not because of the titty comment, because I'm like, come on, yeah, guys, we know, yeah. Say something else about it. That's why I liked the aforementioned guy who got really fucking deep about the rat bastards of the state and shit. This one is 3.5 stars. An original R-rated comic book movie, still a fun sexy ride throughout, kick-ass gal, over the top villains, and looks great on Blu-ray.
Oh, the Blu-ray, okay.
Yeah, fucking pulling out the Blu-ray. This one I totally agree, well, not totally, but 4 stars. This is a great movie. It has a great storyline and a lot of action. Pretty good acting. Great special effects. I don't know why people don't like it.
Aw, that's, you know, I always, that's it's one so of my genuine. Favorite reviews. They're like, I don't get why people don't like this. I'm like, I know. I feel you.
Oh, God. I think, yeah. See, this is the kind of one that I fucking hate. This one just said, film is good. I only watched it because Pam is so fit in it. Pam is so fit in it.
Fit? On, yeah. We don't. Brit. Yeah, we don't need any UK people in here. No. They're cool. They're cool.
Just kidding. We love you guys. We love all of you.
Yeah.
Other than seeing Pam's tits, this movie was absolutely horrible. See, I fucking hate this shit. Okay, well, this one is 5 stars. I know this movie didn't get very good reviews, but I love it. 3 exclamation points. 5 stars.
This is like kind of wholesome reviews, I think, you know?
I know. I guess maybe this is a good one to end it on, because, well, this one is like, this person like is like, I love it. This, I got some people being like, Pamela Anderson actually does a really good job. She's the heroine until the end. This movie rocks. And then one person,
it's like
said,
a plea, like,
yeah,
please,
like, this
understand.
Pretty good. This one just says, this is me in my head when I was 19. Don't know what? If they are like relating to Pamela Anderson.
Oh,
if
they're yeah, saying... they could be. They could be.
That's how I read it. And this is, I think, a good one to end it on because this person really doesn't understand it, but I really got a clear visual of their life.
Oh.
2010, half a star.
Okay, 2010.
I don't know why I watched this movie. It was on HBO when I woke up yesterday morning when I turned on the television and I couldn't find the remote to my cable box, so I just laid there and watched it.
I love that. What, this is a half star?
He said, "Nah, it was horrible," all caps. Not only was the acting bad, but the movie's plot was not interesting. Then the movie just ended by a lady getting on a plane.
Well, okay. That's kind of how you what you could say about Casablanca, and I don't think that's a bad movie.
I know. It just ended with a lady getting on a plane.
That's reductive, I would say.
Yeah, I think it was reductive. So, yeah, those are the reviews that I pulled.
I love
those. I tried
those.
To get a wide gamut of reviews, and that was fun. I would like to see more people's reviews. Now, I think that there's some credit that should go I think that you were the one who brought this up, but it reminds me of the great podcast Guys. If you have not listened to Guys, Gooey also turned me on to the podcast Guys, and it's my favorite new podcast. It's awesome. And they read a lot of Reddit comments and like Yelp reviews and shit like that. Yeah, so there's a special kind of person who writes shit online.
These are the type of movies that bring it out in people too, you know?
Yeah, a lot of strong opinions. So yeah, I think this movie's worth watching. You should watch it. I fucking loved it.
Well, you read someone mentioned it caused me to kind of go down a rabbit hole, but some person mentioned like the stunts and stuff like that, and I always went back and looking at like there's some cool like stuff. Cool. They got real explosions in there. I like seeing explosions in movies. But then I was also thinking about like the Nazi guy she fights in the end. I like that actor. Mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out who that was. I can't remember. And then like actually the sort of like cop guy that she's like sort of with at the end. He showed up in a lot of he's shown up in a lot of movies that I've watched in the 90s lately too. And I like seeing him. He's like kind of a, I don't know. I just like those type of guys. They're just like normal people, but they have like a certain charisma. So I want to give a brief shout out to some of the other, guys that are in the movie and also to the stunts and explosions. I actually think, yeah, they did like the big finale fight scene.
Like with the crane or whatever. That was
crane. That was cool. And the chase, there was a good like car chase type thing. Oh, yeah. And McKenna called like just before it happened where she goes, "Don't call me doll," or whatever. Or not doll. That's in Space
Babe.
Jam. Don't call me babe.
Space Jam.
Yeah, that was a good payoff. Yeah, Space Jam, you know, Lola Bunny. Don't call me doll.
Don't call me doll. I mean, we would be, I'd be remiss if I didn't say the only bad thing about the movie is Big Fatso, and it's not because of his name. It's because he's an incredibly exploitative character, but
yeah,
I like that he was called Big Fatso. I thought that was cool.
Rosie is the actor. Actually, I think he's good. Like, and he was fun. Like he was fun. Like, he did a good job with, I guess, that horrible kind of thing he was like, you know, I mean, like that guy has like a charisma, but that was weirdly the more shocking. Like, I don't know what it is about. It's like all the stuff with Pam Anderson. It feels like, you know, like silly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like and stuff or cool. Like and it might just because it's like we're at, like that type of stuff. I don't know. The racism aspect of that character was like that. Stood out to
that
me
was
as
wild.
Like the more the most weird element of it, you know.
Totally because it just felt so anomalous. Like I was like whoa, like it was very like jarring because I was like wait, Hold on.
It might be like a, like you were saying, like the Pam is like the lead, and like they sort of do a thing too. Like they talk about how she like pretends to be a sex worker or whatever. And I was like, oh, if she actually is, like, this is gonna be the worst movie ever. But like the fact that it's like a twist for her to do, it's like espionage she's doing. I was like,
yeah,
that's cool. Like that's fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that character, that was too far. That was too
far. That was the only bad thing about the movie.
I'm disappointed in you, Barb Wire.
Yeah, I'm fucking disappointed in that shit. You ruined what could have been a fucking, like, I would have recommended this shit to anybody, but now I'm like, well, there is that fucking aspect.
I mostly would, you know, it's, you know, it's, yeah. It is what it is, you know.
Yeah, it's fucking, I mean, it's certainly not the only movie that was doing shit like that at the time.
Well,
you know,
I sort of just have the feeling of like, it was sort of like when we watched Dirty Work. You know, I was like, there's going to be stuff in this, like, it's not going to be good, but we're all adults, and we can...
Yeah, we're all going to
watch
it. We can watch
this, and, you know, I totally get if someone's like, I don't want to... Like, I said this over on Flashback 64, and I've told you this, where, like we were... There was, like, a conversation, people were like, oh, you don't need to watch, like, the Bond movies, because, you know, they're like this or whatever. And I like wanted to defend it because I like it. But at the same time, I was like, you know what? If you don't want to, I get it. Don't worry about it.
I guess. Yeah.
You don't have to. Not a big deal.
You don't have to watch them.
It's not worth defending. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, great flick. Apparently there was plans for a video game of this that did not come out and did not come to fruition. Which is, I know, it's just such a shame that didn't come out, because I, as
cool
soon
game.
As I saw it, I was like, I'm gonna fucking buy this shit on eBay, and then it doesn't exist, so can't do it.
Disappointed.
Yeah. So do you have any last thoughts, or should we talk about what our birthday movies are?
I think we hit on like there's a lot of, you know, scenes or whatever, but you get the idea. We get the vibe. It's Casablanca with some there's action in it more so.
And some like sci-fi shit.
Action sci-fi, so like, you know, all the details, you get the idea. I really enjoyed watching this movie a lot.
Yeah, I was happy that I learned about it from my deep dive into Pamela Anderson, which is continuing. I'm going to watch Pamela, A Love Story. I'm going to watch it.
Excellent pick. Thank you. For our next one, do we want to do for the double feature reviews, or will that make it too long? Or should we do pulling people's reviews?
Maybe we, I don't know. Well, it depends. But what's, okay, because I don't know yours and you don't know mine.
Mm-hmm.
So, we Who's just say them first? At the same time. No, I'm just kidding. You go first.
So last year, we picked, I feel like it's a double feature, as people know, because it's both our birthday month in June. And so we're like, that's fun. It's fun. And it can always be something different. I like that, as opposed to it's like we're going back to this specific thing. It's like we can kind of pick whatever.
Yeah.
And so we did, you know, for our first one, we did movies that were kind of important to us in our childhood, and they were kind of similar. And so the thinking was, let's do something like that. Like pick something that's you, like a movie that represents you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I decided I wanted to go to, I just wanted to pick a movie that was like one that's very me. And I've seen it a bunch of times already. So it's like, it's not a new experience for me, but I think it's a great movie, and I think it would be great to talk about. And so I picked Star Trek, the motion picture.
Hell
from
yes. I don't think I've ever seen this, so this is awesome.
Yes, and I have a version of it I'm going to send to you, because they just did like a new, like, remaster type thing to it that came out a couple years ago, and I want you to see this version of it, because I think they did a, I'll tell you more about that later in the episode, but I thought it was a good pick because it's obviously something that's like really big for me, really important for me. I'm super into this whole, that whole, you know, you heard it earlier, but also I just in general think that it on its own is like a really good movie, and it requires, like, you don't have to have like a connection to like that franchise or anything. Like you know like the big characters, but like even then it's not, you could almost go into it sort of knowing nothing, and I think it's a great movie. At least that's what I think. So I'm curious, and I'm curious to see, like, I think it's like of we'll talk about it. I'm curious to see what, you know, your reaction to it would be, what it makes you feel.
I'm super excited to watch this. I haven't really watched much Star Trek purely because it's such a big encyclopedic, it feels like overwhelming to start. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it feels like you have to sort of enter at a, you know, like it's hard to sort of edge your way in there, because I started watching, like, I've the only season I've ever seen is the first one. So I was like, oh, I should start at the beginning, which is,
that's not how I recommend typically.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how I had watched that like 10 years ago or something. And as you say, that's perhaps not the best way to go about doing it. So yeah, I'm excited about it. This is cool.
This, I think it'll have no, like, don't worry about it. It'll have no baggage. You know, it's got all those characters, and the fact that you've seen it, I guess you'd, we'll see. Cause I, we'll see. Cause it kind of, it starts off and is, for a lot of the movie, very tonally different than the show. It's actually very, like, another thing it reminds me of when we did Honor Majesty's Secret Service, where it's kind of an outlier in within its own world, in a way. So I think that's what'll be great about it, is I think it's actually, like, weirdly a good introductory point. But it also, if you never want to watch another one again, it's even perfect that way. Like, it's just a movie, you know what I mean? Like, it's Star Trek the motion picture. So
I love that it's that it's called the motion Star Trek : the motion picture. That rocks.
It was a different time, you know, late 70s. That was when
when did an Alien came out? What year did Alien came out? Not Aliens.
Is Alien, that also 79?
I believe that's also 79. That's why I was like, oh yeah, a great time.
This was in the boom of we'll talk about that, but in the, this is after the popularity of Star Wars and 2001. Like, this is like, they were like, we can cash on this sort of trend, you know. Even James Bond did that, so that's nice. Another story.
I can't wait for the stories of this. Okay, well, mine is quite different than this, but I do think it kind of well, there's at least one scene that is sci-fi in it, and I think that it is related to your Bond journey that you've been on, watching a lot of Bond films.
Yeah, and listen to Flashback 64.
Let me just see what year this came out real quick.
Is it Johnny English?
Yeah. No, but it is the 1997 film Spice World, which was very big for me. And
has a very strong connection, actually, to there's multiple the
James
actors.
Bond movies.
I kind of want this to be. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You can keep this in the episode. McKenna, if you're listening, stop listening.
get out of here. We'll give you time to pause.
So we're gonna watch this soon anyway, because it'll be in our timeline or whatever. But it's got a couple people who've been in Bond movies, but most importantly, it stars it has Roger Moore, James Bond himself is in the movie.
Fuck yeah, it does. Sweet. Well,
and I really like, after watching all of. I like, he's become one of my favorite guys, and I'm like, I remember him in the movie, but it's a new like a whole new thing. And I also like that you're picking things from the exact time period of me and McKenna's podcast. Like, coincidentally, you're like saving us a lot of time. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that I'm pretty sure Good Burger also came out in 1997 or at some time around the same time. So, and Barbed Wire was 96.
That's just literally the best time to see a movie.
Because I was like, okay, what's a movie that I really like that's important to me? And I was thinking about a movie that I've mentioned on here a few times, which is About a Boy. But that felt a little contemplative. And I was like, what's another one that is just a good time girl kind of movie?
This is a big one for you?
Spice Girl. Well, I was a big... So I will show you... I'll send you photos of me as a child. There's, like, professional photos of me dressed up as Scary Spice. Like, a lot of them.
We'll have to work something out, then. Because I was talking about, like, we should do... we're talking to one of our friends about... The top-selling album in 1996 was Jagged Little Pill. And we're sort of like, oh, we did Independence Day. We're like, maybe we could do an episode about that. And then I was like, what's 97? Spice is the top-selling album.
Big.
And I was like, we should do that. And I'm like, well, maybe now. I was like, we could talk about Spice World in there, too. But now I'm like, maybe we should just do a Spice episode and have you as the guest.
I mean, I would love to guest on a Spice episode. I mean, I know every word to every song. I got a lot of photos. My first concert, Spice Girls in Atlanta. So,
oh my God. Okay.
Yeah, a hidden fact about me. I was not on the boy band craze. I was like, why would you listen to boys when you could listen to girl power? I don't understand.
That is very logical. I agree with that. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry if I'm messing up your
timeline. No, it's almost here, it's like a fun I can't even think of the best word to describe it, but it's like a very fun mix up where I'm like, I don't know, it's just like, it's so exciting now. I've like,
right.
Well, honestly, because I was like, oh, like we're gonna do this, but we probably won't get to it for a little bit, and now I'm like, now I have a reason, like, no, I have to watch this and I have to talk about it. So we just might have to double up. We might have to have you come out and talk about the album /
I would love
talk to about the movie some more.
I'll show you photos. Well, if we want to do this in June, if we want to escape for a few hours, I'll bring some visual aids and show you pictures and stuff.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
This is a great pairing, honestly. This is gonna be great. Yeah.
All right, hell yeah, because we did do this blind. Last year, we tried to, with Wayne's World and Good Burger, where they were like buddy comedies and, you know, but this is,
we revealed.
A happy accident.
Yeah, totally different, but it's just like, that does, they both do seem like they describe us pretty well, I feel like.
Yeah. All right. Well, unless there's anything else that you want to say,
no.
I think we've said everything that can be said.
No,
happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Yeah, I'm giddy.
Me
for
too.
the next episode.
I think we've got a lot. We've got a lot of good stuff coming down the pike. So I hope everyone's having a great spring, and we'll see you soon for our birthdays. And until then, stay cool.
Stay cool.